This program does not create an attorney-client relationship between Moss and Barnett, a professional association, or any attorney appearing on this program and any caller or listener. Please remember that we can only give general information, and every case is unique. Always check with your individual attorney for any specific legal concerns. If you are in need of specific legal advice or are looking for an attorney, please do not hesitate to give Moss and Barnett a call at 612-877-5000.
This is WCCO's Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett.
Thanks so much for joining us. The end of the year, our final program of 08, and as always, our host, Tom Shore, president at Moss and Barnett. Tom, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Steve. Happy New Year and happy holidays to you and to all of our listeners here today. We're, of course, here to wrap up the year, as you said, and we have a little bit of an offbeat show today. We are going to be joined by Kevin Bush. At the top of the show, and then a little bit later on, as well as with running commentary during the program. And then we'll have a special guest appearance from one of our paralegals, Nicole Foley, also here a bit in a few moments on the show. But we're going to start off with a look back at some of the more interesting legal news here in Minnesota and elsewhere for the past year. And then we'll talk with Nicole Foley about being a paralegal and career opportunities in that field, and then conclude with a look at the good things that lawyers have been doing here in our community for really quite a long time. And it's fitting that in that regard that we have Kevin Bush with us. Kevin is with Moss and Barnett, of course. He chairs our commercial law department. And Kevin is really a lawyer's lawyer. His father, William Bush, was a prominent lawyer in St. Paul, and Kevin, four of his children became lawyers, including you.
Four of us, plus one brother-in-law.
And so you you must have some really fun family gatherings, especially this time of year.
Can't talk about a thing.
I'm sure. And in terms of the good things lawyers do, Kevin is also a great person to talk with about that, because he won the prestigious Paul Van Valkenburg Award for pro bono and charitable work efforts by lawyers and legal professionals here in the in our area for his work with the Share a Life program. He does that with his wife, and for his long-standing contributions as a director of Children's HeartLink. We're going to start, though, by taking a look at some of the legal news here that has abounded during the past year, 2008. I think, Kevin, the lead story locally, for lawyers anyway, has had to have been the Petters matter, the alleged $3 billion Ponzi scheme that you talked about here a few weeks ago in terms of how to avoid frauds.
It was a very big story locally. We thought it was a huge story nationally until very recently, when the Madoff case appeared out of New York, which makes it the Petters case look small.
Well, indeed, the Madoff case, and that I'm understanding is pronounced Madoff as in Madoff with all the money, was a $50 billion and climbing loss estimate. And Kevin, it just shows to go that really no one is immune from being victimized by these really quite artfully disguised and executed fraud schemes.
No, the topics we talked about a month ago on that came out very prominently in the Madoff case. And there's a very significant Twin Cities component to that. Many of the losses were suffered here.
Well, and on both of these cases, they were packaged so beautifully that it was very difficult for even the most astute investor to know that they were the victim of fraud until the very end, when it was way too late. I mean, it really was, from a criminal standpoint, brilliant.
They were very well done.
It also was a reminder that really no amount of lawyering could have necessarily safeguarded against that, because the documentation all looked to be so genuine.
One of the things we find in these cases is that whatever documents we expect to be there will be produced if we ask for them, even though they may be completely fake.
Another of the leading stories here for at least Twin Cities lawyers, and I think of interest to really everyone in the area and nationwide, was the story of the Exxon Valdez case. That, as our listeners will recall, involved the largest oil spill in U.S. history, when the Exxon Valdez oil tanker ran aground in Alaska. And that was 19 years ago, 20 years ago next year. And also, you'll recall, Steve, that a jury in Alaska awarded $5 $1 billion in actual and punitive damages to the victims of that spill who were residents of the area. But, of course, it was that was 14 years ago. And just this June, this past June, the United States Supreme Court finally put to rest that case, and they cut the damage award down to $500 million. So that was quite a remarkable saga in U.S. legal history, quite a controversial one, I might add. The case isn't necessarily over, as the parties are still wrestling over whether prejudgment interest attaches to that number, and if so, how it's computed. But what really makes that case, I think, of interest here locally is that it was spearheaded by a group of lawyers from our local law firm, Fagry & Benson, and they took that case on a contingent fee. So there was never any promise of payment, and here it took them 14 years to receive ultimate vindication.
And what's so amazing about that, we did a show about people who are able to get judgments in court and how difficult it is to collect on those judgments. And maybe on a larger sense, this shows how difficult it can be. They were able to win a judgment, but Exxon Mobil were able to fight this all the way and in the end get this judgment cut way back. So it really does point that even if you are able to get a judgment, it's tough to collect.
Indeed, that's true. And we pointed that out on our show that we did just a couple of weeks ago. Although there are things that can be done to put teeth in judgments, there's just never a guarantee. And so really, lawyers who do take cases on contingent fee basis do put their careers and quite a bit of their treasure at risk.
That case also illustrates how long it can take to resolve a legal dispute of some magnitude.
And that's got to be frustrating if you're representing individuals or for instance, maybe a fisherman or a small company that made their living by fishing and there was damaged by the oil spill, and it took years and years for them to get their money. That's got to be extremely frustrating because ExxonMobil, they could fight this forever. They have the deep pockets to be able to string this out as long as possible.
Indeed, that's true. Now, on the other side of the coin, another famous case that came home and was concluded in 2008 was the lost Parapants case. Listeners may recall back in 2005, a judge at the time bringing a lawsuit against a dry cleaner for allegedly losing one pair of his pants. And when they proffered up the pair that they said he had lost, a week later he said it wasn't his. When they proffered a $12,000 settlement, he said it wasn't enough. He wanted $18,000 a day for his loss, and ultimately he maintained that he suffered $67 million of damage.
He added it up over the course of several years. One of the sad results of that case is the cleaners actually closed because of the impact of paying legal fees for several years to defend this claim.
That's right. There was, in fact, a fund established for the owners of the business, and people from all over America contributed to helping the Chung family that owned the cleaners to pay for their law, their legal fees, their law bills. And at the end of the day, they were reimbursed by contributions from folks from throughout the country. But it took a long time for the judicial system to resolve that very frivolous case. So back to the same point that justice is often a very lengthy process.
Well, and guys, one of the things we do know is a person that brought that suit got in trouble of their own, that eventually the person that brought that unreasonable lawsuit, and it was clearly unreasonable, got in trouble of their own. It was preposterous to the point of he suffered as a result.
Yes, that's right. He lost his job as an administrative law judge with the government, and so it was not a happy ending by any means. So the courts can be very, very rough places in a sense. It can take a long time, but they do serve, of course, an important function, many important functions, and we ask a lot from them. We ask them to decide questions of life and death and human rights and to enforce our freedoms. And Kevin, we had an interesting example of that happening this past year in Nebraska.
We had a lawsuit against God. It brought by actually a state legislator down in Nebraska. He actually had a purpose in mind, which brings up an issue we see in lawsuits. They are not always about resolving disputes. Sometimes they are about making points or getting publicity for a cause. The lawsuit, of course, brought up some interesting questions. How do we serve the papers? And it was ultimately dismissed on that basis. Of course, his response was, God must be all-knowing, so he knows about this lawsuit already.
But it did take about a year, though, to get the case dismissed, and among other reasons that it finally came to an end is that a Texas lawyer took up the cudgel, so to speak, for God and filed a special appearance on his behalf.
Filed an answer for God.
But ultimately, a trial judge threw it out.
And one of the interesting aspects of a case of this type is we don't want to close the courts. We don't want to set very high bars against lawsuits because lawsuits serve good purposes. Lawsuits that are not very popular can be very important and give us good results.
And one of the things to follow up on that is much can be learned from how these cases are settled, that attorneys are always learning from new decisions. And I'm sure in that particular instance, something was learned by that by that suit being brought and how it was handled is something that people can learn from in the future.
Well, it certainly is the case that our body of jurisprudence or reported case law is growing tremendously here. And so, of course, that in turn generates even more litigation as people pick up on that and advance the ball to the next level.
It is 12:20 Minnesota Law will continue. Of course, Tom Schreuer, the host on the program. Kevin Bush is also in studio today. And when we come back, Nicole Foley, a paralegal at Moss and Burnett, will join the program. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, available online at moss-barnett.com. Our final program of 08. We'll see you in 2 weeks. We have a ball game next week. Tom Schreuer, host of the program, joining us in studio. And we have a very busy studio today, Tom.
Yes, thanks, Steve. We really do. We wanted to make sure that we had a chance to talk yet this year to Nicole Foley, who is a paralegal here with our law firm. And really our reason for doing that is twofold. First, because as a business law firm, we are committed to delivering services with maximum value, and we realize as a firm that paralegals provide that value and cost effectiveness to our clients that really they are entitled to receive from our firm every day, year in and year out. And Nicole is here as a paralegal as well to talk to some of the younger folks, perhaps, or people in mid-career even looking for perhaps a new career. Because Nicole has been very active, not only as a paralegal with our firm, but also with the Minnesota Paralegal Association, where she chairs the family law section and has been active in developing that career for people. And in fact, she was quoted in, interviewed for a book that was published recently by the American Bar Association on careers for non-lawyers, published by the ABA this year and authored by Ursula Fury Perry. Nicole hails from Hibbing, Minnesota, and has worked as a paralegal for the past 10 years, earned her degree as a paralegal from Morehead State University. Welcome, Nicole.
Good morning, or good afternoon.
Yes, and I understand that you have a very special listener at home, someone who's exactly 9.5 years old and named Colton.
Yes, that would be my son.
All right, you want to say hi, Colton?
Hi, Colton.
Well, thanks, Nicole, for that. And we're so pleased to have you here today to talk about becoming a paralegal. It's certainly an opportunity for many folks to think about as a possible career. And so with that in mind, let me ask you, what is exactly a paralegal?
A paralegal is somebody that works under the direct supervision of an attorney to do document reviews, discovery, analysis of certain information that we receive.
And so basically you are a professional and you work with lawyers. I know you work closely with Ben Henschel, among other lawyers in our family law group, to really put entire cases together.
Correct. I mean, we do a lot of different things, especially in the family law area.
Right. You mentioned that you draft documents. That includes legal agreements that are then, what, reviewed by a lawyer?
Correct. We do a lot of the initial drafting because it is a cost-effective savings. And since we review some of the documents firsthand, it's a lot easier for us to put together the information and then give the attorney the documents with the supporting information.
And so you are also, as I gather from our discussion earlier today, a bit like the CSI team for lawyers.
Yeah, at times we are. Yeah. We find a lot of information that sometimes gets overlooked, so it's very nice.
So you actually do investigations and pull together evidence to help build a case.
Well, in family law cases, there's always, you know, individuals that, you know, attempt to hide money in different places or do different things, and we typically find those little things out there.
And so would you recommend a career in being a paralegal for our listeners?
I would definitely recommend it. It's been one of the most fascinating things that I've done in my life.
What do you like about it?
I like the fact that you, in my area, like that we can help people through different the most difficult situations in their lives, make it maybe a little bit easier than it sometimes can be. But I think there's so many different avenues that you can pursue as a paralegal that I think it would be beneficial for anybody to do it.
Now, in addition to working with clients, do you get to go into court and help the lawyers present their cases?
There are times that I do attend trial with Ben, depending on the size of the case and the ability for me to be there with the other caseload that we have. But it's very helpful at the times that I do go with Ben to be able to retrieve documents that he needs during the course of the trial.
So you work extensively with exhibits and also witnesses, I'd imagine.
Correct.
Now, at Moss and Barnett, Nicole, we have paralegals not only like you in family law, but we also have paralegals who work in litigation and corporate law, copyrights, trademarks, and patents, probate and estate planning, just to mention a few, and others would be
real estate,
electronic discovery, employment law, collection work.
Collections.
So really the paralegal career runs the gamut of the legal profession.
Right. You can also work in government agencies. The military right now is another big aspect for paralegals as well.
Now, Nicole, are there good opportunities for people who want to come into the field? Is it growing?
I think the field is growing quite a bit. Paralegals are gaining more and more recognition as years pass.
We'll have more with Nicole, Tom, and Kevin. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. Welcome back. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. The final program of 08, we're off next Saturday. We return the following week at noon, of course, each and every Saturday. And next week, we have a ball game. Tom Schroyer, host of our program, Kevin Bush in studio, and paralegal Nicole Foley from Moss and Barnett. Good enough to join us in studio.
Yes, Steve, thanks again. We are talking with Nicole Foley, a paralegal, about what it means to be a paralegal, what they do, and other career opportunities. And so we would certainly welcome calls from folks who are interested in pursuing that career or have a question for Nicole.
Nicole, what type of educational background do you typically see with a paralegal?
There's some paralegals that start out as legal secretaries or legal assistants and then gain experience throughout the years and then become paralegals. There's also programs out there that you can obtain a paralegal certificate in approximately 9 months. Community colleges or technical colleges also have programs for a two-year paralegal degree, or you can obtain a four-year degree through a typical four-year school and get a Bachelor of Science in paralegal.
Now, it's also possible to become a paralegal with a more general background even than that. I know we have, for example, a paralegal working in our intellectual property area who has a four-year degree and performed biomedical research, which was directly relevant to working on patent prosecution and other intellectual property matters, not just necessarily limited to someone who had a dedicated paralegal degree.
Correct. There's also nurses that eventually become paralegals for, you know, accident cases, those types of things. People that are in the financial institutions can become paralegals because a lot of what attorneys do have to do with financial things as well.
And we were talking as well about the opportunities for flex time or independent contracting type of work for paralegals. Is that something that is an opportunity for people who may be not wanting to work full-time or have other commitments?
There are opportunities out there from when law firms are overextended for different projects that they have independent contractors that come in to help them with certain project with discovery or things like that. There's also staffing agencies that hire out for paralegals for a day or a week or for extended period of time for somebody that's, say, on maternity leave or on a medical leave of absence for some reason or if they're just taking a vacation for a week.
We should remind you our phone number on the program, 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. Those are the phone numbers each and every week here on Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Burnett. Nicole, I was going to ask, one of the things that has to be great about your job is a variety. Is that each and every case is different, the research is different, the information is different. So I'm sure you're able to go into the office every day knowing that who knows what today will bring.
It's fascinating. It's one of those things that you think you've seen it all, and then you'll have something that comes up, and you have no idea.
Like radio.
Correct. But it is. You always have different issues that come up, different people that you're involved with, different experts, judges are different. It's always something new and interesting that you're doing.
And you get to have relations with clients that are satisfying as well.
We actually do. We get heavily involved with our clients at times just because of the issues that we're dealing with. It's in family law, it's such a personal issue that we have the ability to really be there for the clients and help them through different things.
And I know that you've been active in the professional association, and that is also a way for individuals who are paralegals to grow professionally.
Right. The Minnesota Paralegal Association has the different sectional groups where you obtain more information through the sectionals. For the family law sectionals, we have experts come in or different judges so we have more of an education or more of an understanding of the issues that we deal with on a daily basis. And then we also have a networking group where we have different functions throughout the year, and we can network with other peers. And
well, and Nicole, I'm thinking the opportunity to interact with fine attorneys like Tom Schroyer and Kevin Bush on a daily basis, that's probably got to be the highlight of the job right there alone. With all the great attorneys I've met from Moss and Barnett, wow, what,
you know. You should probably throw my attorney, Ben Henschel, in there as well.
Right, yeah. Thanks.
Thank you for those kind words, Steve. We're always grateful for the plug. Appreciate that. And so Nicole does work very closely with just a top-rate attorney, family law attorney, Ben Henschel. And I know that you really closely associate with Ben virtually on every aspect of his cases.
I do. Ben and I work very closely on a lot of cases. Ben's an amazing attorney. I've really enjoyed working with him this past year.
And, Nicole, we are so proud of you as well, because I understand that you are doing pro bono work, which is to say you're doing free legal services for individuals in our community now.
Correct. I recently became a certified guardian ad litem for the state of Minnesota. I'll be in the 2nd Judicial District, and I will be basically it's an advocate for children that are going through different situations in their family where they've been removed from their home or they're in need of protective services.
And so you'll be doing that work under the supervision of the court system?
Correct. We have a guardian ad litem coordinator that we directly deal with, and then we go to court and actually testify on behalf of the child.
And so the 2nd Judicial District, maybe we should...
It's Ramsey County.
Okay, that's hard to get a peg on otherwise. So, Nicole, we do appreciate your volunteering to do that work in our community. That's so worthwhile. And I know that really the Children Protection Services have been greatly afflicted here by the budget cuts, and there's a great need for people to help out in that area.
It really is, and it's difficult to have the amount of cases that they do have right now without having enough people to be advocates for the kids. So there is a big demand right now for guardian ad litems in the state of Minnesota.
And, Nicole, that's, I think, a fitting note for us to talk with Kevin Bush a little bit here as well about some of the good things that lawyers and paralegals do for our community. Kevin, we have many good things to talk about in that regard.
Could we stop for a second and talk a little bit about the good characteristics for paralegals?
Sure.
I'm going to toss out two of them for Nicole. One is attention to detail, and another is curiosity. I think those are both very important for the roles that paralegals play.
I'd have to agree with you. I mean, you have to have a great deal, you know, of attention to detail, because you can't miss things. You're dealing with people's lives on a general basis when you come to a law firm. It's our job not to miss anything, so that way we can protect our clients. Curiosity is also factors into that, I think, as well, just because you have to be curious enough to look at the things that you need to.
And certainly we like to see a strong intelligence level to be able to handle some very difficult matters.
I think that's definitely a big aspect. I think you also have to have a great deal of understanding and appreciation for the different personality types that you're dealing with, from attorneys to other staff and other law offices that you deal with.
Well, what type of research tools do you use in your job? For instance, Kevin talked about being curious and being able to look into things. What are some of the tools you use in your job every day?
A lot of times you seek out directly from your attorney. You talk to your attorney about different things that you should be looking at. There's all kinds of resources out there that you can use, Westlaw online or new case laws that have come out.
And then being able to research financial records, you brought that up a little bit earlier, all those sorts of things, that sounds fascinating.
It can be at times, but you have different ways that you can go through it. I mean, Moss & Barnett is a firm that promotes paralegals quite a bit, so we're able to take continuing legal education courses that attorneys take as well, so we're gain more knowledge and experience.
And would you be involved in, say, for instance, interviewing? You brought up witnesses, you brought family members, people involved in the case in particular. Do you get involved in the interview process?
After the attorney establishes the attorney-client privilege, I'll have a lot of contact with our clients so I can get the information to be able to put into our pleadings.
Wow, neat.
And certainly computer skills are very important now.
Computer skills are very important. Excel spreadsheets.
And especially with electronic discovery coming more and more into play, that you really need to understand how databases are managed, how software and operating systems work, and how to retrieve and extract data from a variety of different sources.
Electronic discovery is huge right now. We just recently had a case where the documents were so voluminous, we were able to scan them into the computer and be able to bring them up onto a projector in the courtroom itself, so you didn't have to haul 12 boxes of documents with you. You could pull it up just by a page number automatically, so it made it more fluent within the courtroom.
So you, for that kind of volume of case, you have to be very skilled and experienced at managing large volumes of information and correlating that around the facts and issues in a lawsuit.
Correct. It can be quite cumbersome at times.
Well, sky's the limit for being a paralegal, and it sounds like you're really enjoying it.
I love my job.
Excellent. So you'd encourage people out there listening to us to consider being a paralegal for either a career from the start or even a midlife change.
I think it'd be a great transition for people that are in different careers right now, because there's so many different avenues that you can take with it, and it's a very rewarding career.
And is the field growing?
It's been growing more and more every year. I think attorneys and law firms are realizing the value that paralegals do offer to clients and to firms, so I think it's an ever-expanding area.
And certainly, Kevin, we know that Minnesota lawyers play a significant economic role here in the Upper Midwest.
We did a survey recently, or were part of a survey of some of the larger firms in town, that within those firms, there are 5,700 employees, 5,700 employees. Obviously, that includes a lot of lawyers, paralegals, secretaries, receptionists, and any number of other people that are necessary to have a law firm that that runs smoothly.
And so we're talking about a huge amount of payroll with that level of employment.
Correct. Pay a lot of payroll, a lot of benefits, a lot of taxes. Just within the Twin Cities itself, one of the public databases shows that over 10,000 employees are at law firms.
And so we know that Minnesota lawyers also are reaching out to other parts of the country and the world even with their offices establishing satellites and branch offices throughout the world, literally.
Yes.
It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Burnett. We'll be back in a moment here on News Radio 830 WCCO. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, available online at moss-barnett.com. We come your way each and every Saturday at noon, except when there's a ball game, and next Saturday there is a ball game, so we'll return in 2 weeks. Our host, as always, Tom Schroer. Happy New Year, Tom. Once again, a big thanks to Kevin Bush joining us in studio today, and Nicole Foley, a paralegal at Moss and Barnett.
Yes, Steve, thanks. Picking up off of what Nicole was talking about here a moment ago in terms of her work for her volunteer work for the Youth at Risk program in Ramsey County on a volunteer basis, we wanted to end this year here talking a bit about the good things that lawyers do. We often don't get credit for that as a profession. And just wanted to take a few moments to share with our listeners something about that. And so for that, we did a little research, and according to a leading legal publication called The American Lawyer, the top 100 firms in the country, that's just 100 of the law firms that were surveyed in America, dedicated a total of 4.8 million hours of time to serving the poor and people who don't have the ability to afford legal services, and to make sure that that everybody really has equal access to justice in our country. And I know, Kevin, that's something that we see here on a daily basis in our area.
It is. We try to impress on our lawyers, particularly our younger lawyers, that the law is a service profession. And being a service profession includes public service. Tom used the expression earlier, pro bono or pro bono publico service, which means for the good of the public. In Minnesota, as in most states, our ethical rules set some very high standards for lawyers to provide legal assistance and financial assistance to those who otherwise would not be able to afford good legal help.
Certainly, the Bar Association, the Supreme Court, has established an aspirational goal of about 50 hours a year, Kevin, for free legal services from each Minnesota licensed attorney.
Yes.
And at Moss and Barnett, we encourage our attorneys to work in the pro bono arenas. We've established the Paul Van Volkenburg Award that I mentioned that Kevin Bush had won here for his work on behalf of troubled or women with troubled pregnancies, and also his work for Children's HeartLink as they deliver medical care to third world countries.
I think if we looked at the boards of directors of any of the nonprofits in town here, whether it's social service nonprofits or arts or religious, there will almost always be a lawyer on the board, almost always be a lawyer in a leadership position. And that's an important part of what lawyers need to do in the community.
And I know that we've had John Rossman here on the program and also as a guest or as a host here, substituting in for yours truly on occasion. And John, I know, spends time frequently working for the Hennepin County Legal Advice Networks and clinics, just dealing with everyday legal problems that people of any financial background have had the ability to come in and ask questions about at Hennepin County.
And there are many lawyers in our firm and throughout the state that do that in many different situations. Mm-hmm. One of the other ways that lawyers support good causes is through financial contributions. The Minnesota State Bar Association Foundation is a vehicle that many lawyers use for that. These are voluntary donations. I'd like to look just a moment at some of the items that were promoted by the Bar Foundation in its recent program. Just looking at these titles here, helping new citizens with understanding their legal rights and responsibilities, helping low-income Native Americans living on reservation, helping with the ending human trafficking and prostitution, all wonderful projects that are being funded through our State Bar Association Foundation.
So what is the funding? Where does the funding originate with the State Bar Association Foundation, Kevin?
For the most part, through voluntary contributions by lawyers.
I know another program that is quite well received, and that is the high school mock trial program that lawyers staff and organize on an annual basis.
That allows high school students to form teams to handle on a mock trial basis a legal dispute that then goes through a series of juried events and judging with lawyers and judges providing support to those high school students.
Now, I noticed that another thing that we've wanted to talk about here concerning pro bono work is the recent establishment of the Minnesota Supreme Court Historical Society. And that was a recently established group that was set up to honor the history of the jurisprudence here in Minnesota through the Minnesota Supreme Court. And a number of law firms have recently gone together to contribute money to form that Historical Society Center, which will be housed in the Minnesota Historical Center over in St. Paul.
Another item I'd like to talk about comes from one of the biggest news stories in Minnesota in recent memory, and that was the collapse of the I-35W bridge. Very shortly after that collapse, a consortium of local law firms came together to provide free legal advice, legal services to the victims of that collapse. And this was all done on a pro bono basis.
And so that these victims did not have to pay for their legal fees to present their claims for the bridge disaster.
Right.
And so we have a number of these examples of Minnesota lawyers acting above and beyond the call of duty, as it were, by volunteering for legal aid to the poor and for educational programs.
It's a very important part of what we do.
Kevin, what is the ethical source of that duty for lawyers?
Well, certainly it is set by the Supreme Court in our ethical standards, but it goes beyond that because it's simply a result of the privilege of practicing law. We are privileged to provide assistance to our clients in some of the most difficult and challenging and important parts of their lives, and along with that privilege comes the responsibility to give back.
And I suppose in a way it circles back to what we started off the show with, and that was talking about the contingent fee work done on the Exxon Valdez case and the significant challenges presented to our courts to decide questions of incredible importance for us in terms of human rights and dignity and also in terms of our basic freedoms and liberties.
Very important. Perhaps a last topic that's a little more challenging to deal with we can touch on, and that is the situation where lawyers go bad. We've had situations where lawyers have stolen money from their clients. And one of the ways the lawyers have dealt with that locally is to provide a client security fund, again, funded by contributions by lawyers. They've established a very large fund that is there to protect clients who have been hurt by lawyers.
Well, Kevin, great to see you again. Kevin Bush, Tom Scheuer, as always, Happy New Year. And a big thanks to Nicole Foley, the paralegal from Moss & Burnett, for joining us. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks here on Minnesota Law, presented by Moss & Barnett, each and every Saturday at noon on News Radio 830 WCCO.